السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم. سبحان الله. الله gives us an opportunity. سبحان الله. To discuss the best of people. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. The Sahabi we are to learn about. سبحان الله. It's so amazing. Him and his siblings embraced Islam together. Islam came to his region, the Muzayna clan. Allahu Akbar. They would hear about Islam. Sahaba passing that region, Sahaba would stop by, inviting them to Islam. And they would hear about the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one day, this great Sahabi, subhanAllah, what a Sahabi, Ya Allah. A very great Imam, we all know and follow, subhanAllah. That Imam who is the great Imam of fiqh, is named after the Sahabi. That Imam, who Imam al-Shafi'i said, we all, the fuqaha, are indebted to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. And he was that scholar who put the books of fiqh in the sequence we have, in the sequence and the system we have. He was that scholar who would sit with his class of scholars, and from there he established his madhab, based on the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is none other than Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, whose name was Nu'man. But who is Nu'man? Nu'man is actually the great Sahabi radiyallahu anhu, An-Nu'man bin Muqarrin al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu. He heard about Islam. He gathered his people, his brothers, the elders of his community, and he said to them, "Oh my people, by Allah, we've heard so much of good about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His da'wah, his message, his mercy, his kindness, his justice, his loyalty, integrity. Why are we delaying accepting something so good when everyone else is superseding us to goodness?" He then said, "Oh my people, I'm ready. Tomorrow morning I'm leaving, I'm going. Who wants to join me should also get ready." Subhanallah, the words of An-Nu'man radiyallahu anhu hit a core in the hearts of his people. By the time the morning came, his 10 brothers, subhanAllah, so 11 of them, Allahu Akbar, his 10 brothers, another report mentions 7, but probably that reporter is narrating what he knew. Actually, 11 brothers, 10 and himself, and 400 horsemen from the Muzayna clan got ready to go with him to Medina Munawwara to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to embrace Islam. Hazrat Nu'man felt shy to go to Medina Munawwara empty-handed, but there was years of drought that had affected his community, so there was not much left of livestock or valuables. Hazrat Nu'man went to visit his brothers' homes, encouraging them that what can we take with us as a gift. He took whatever he could, and others also brought whatever they could from the little that they had. Subhanallah. Look how merciful Allah is. And this is what we learn from the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, because they learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Allah has given us, give of what we got. Sometimes we don't have much. Give the little we can. Allah appreciates. Allah sees. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this congregation Allah arrives in Medina Munawwara, subhanallah, and they heard the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they embraced Islam, the whole Medina was elated with hundreds of people embracing Islam. These 11 brothers and their community all embracing Islam in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was news in Medina. This was joy. This brought joy to every home in Medina Munawwara. There was nothing that brought greater joy to our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam than someone being saved from Jahannam and being taken to Jannah. And this brought the greatest of joy to the beloved companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what should bring joy to us when a person leaves the party of the devil and comes into the fold of Islam. This becomes a means of their salvation, and from them, their children and their progeny. Bringing one person to Islam has such an impact. This
Subhanallah, ripple effect from one, it reaches more and more and more. And as we are seeing it in the world today, subhanallah, those who are coming into Islam throughout the world, the way they're standing up for Allah's deen, the way they are propagating Allah's deen, the way they are sharing Allah's deen, let's appreciate, let's see the good, let's encourage each other, subhanallah. That's such a beautiful hadith in Sahih Muslim. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before judgment day, there will be a people who will take Allah's deen, and the cities will surrender to Islam through them, and they won't use weapons, but they will say La ilaha illallah, and people would rush to Islam. And then the hadith says, this is a community from the Banu Ishaq. Subhanallah. Now the question comes about, who is this Banu Ishaq who would come into the deen, and so many from the European lands, from the lands of the Romans and the Europeans would come into deen through the same Banu Ishaq. One of the preferred meanings of Banu Ishaq, because who would they be? Banu Ismail, we know, are the Arab and the Muslims. Banu Israel, we know, are the Israelites. Who is then Banu Ishaq? One of the preferred views concerning Banu Ishaq seems to be the Europeans, who will see the beauty of Allah's deen and then would take Allah's deen to heart and value Allah's deen and then share Allah's deen with the world, where so many would come to Allah's deen just through their intellectual explanations and seeing the change in their lives. So subhanallah, this should bring great joy to us when people embrace Islam and when people come in to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine the ambience, the environment of Medina, that such a large exodus of people all uttering the kalima. There was never up to that time such a delegation all at once embracing Islam. This was like up to then the record. Thereafter many delegations came during Awamul Wufud, the years of delegations, which was the 8th, the 9th, the 10th year, where delegations were coming every day. But this was prior to that. So Medina Munawwara hadn't seen such an amazing occasion. This brought joy to all and sundry, young and old, men and women. Everyone was elated by the sight of people in large groups embracing Islam. Subhanallah. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that indeed Iman has homes and hypocrisy has also places and homes. And the home of the Banu Muqarrin clan is indeed from the homes of Iman. إِنَّ لِلْإِيمَانِ بُيُوتًا وَلِلنِّفَاقِ بُيُوتًا وَإِنَّ بَيْتَ بَنِي مُقَرِّنٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ الْإِيمَانِ. Subhanallah. They presented this gift to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was elated by the Islam. This verse of the Quran Kareem was revealed. Surah Tawbah, verses 99. After أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الأعراب من يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر ويتخذ ما ينفق قربات ويتخذ ما ينفق قربات عند الله وصلوات الرسول ألا إنها قربة لهم سيدخلهم الله في رحمته إن الله غفور رحيم. And among the Bedouins are those who bring firm faith in Allah on the last day. And they consider what they spend for Allah as a means of getting close to Allah and as a means of gaining the prayers of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Behold, indeed, it is a means of their proximity to Allah, through which Allah will grant them an acceptance and insert them in His mercies. Indeed, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Hazrat Nu'man and his men joined, subhanallah, the entourage of the Muslims, the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum, striving for Allah without slackening, without tiring, joining in every expedition, Allahu Akbar. Throughout the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he participated in every expedition, seizing every opportunity to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Khilafah came to As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, himself and his clan, the Banu Muzayna, remained firm with determination, Allahu Akbar, to end off
the fitna of apostasy. Him and his community did not denounce Allah's deen. In the time of Al-Faruq radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, there's also amazing events where An-Nu'man fully participated, subhanallah, for Allah's sake. It was just before Qadisiyah. And subhanallah, Qadisiyah is that expedition where every one of us should know of. It's one of the very famous expeditions in our history. It was where, subhanallah, and after which Islam reigned over the Persian region. This was the superpower of them day. They and the Roman Empire shared the largest scale of the world back then. But prior to this expedition, because Qadisiyah is where Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu sent Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, the maternal relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the commander, that great Sahabi who's from the Ashara Mubashara, he was to lead the Muslims to take Allah's deen to this region. This was after Hazrat Al-Muthanna bin Harith al-Shaybani radiallahu anhu paved the way. Anyway, when Hazrat Sa'd arrived there, we all should revise and rehearse Hazrat Umar's advisors, pertinent advisors, to Hazrat Sa'd for his men, telling them, stay away from sin, because that's how we'll win the help of Allah. Otherwise, numbers, they have more. And it's Allah's help that will grant us that victory. And then he would say, Allah is the giver of victory, but beg Allah to accept us. Hazrat Sa'd arrives in Qadisiyah. It was just prior to that where Al-Muthanna passed on. Allahu Akbar. But prior to the expedition, Hazrat Sa'd sent a delegation of men, subhanallah, this beautiful Jamaat, to give da'wah to the emperor himself, subhanallah. So one congregation was to give da'wah to the commander of the army. The army's commander was Rustam. But the emperor, the king of the Persians, was Yazdajird. Hazrat Nu'man was to join, and some say to lead, this congregation, this Jamaat of Sahaba, to travel from Qadisiyah to Ctesiphon, which is Mada'in, which was a lengthy journey, a distance of 160 kilometers. This group of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, journeyed with Hazrat Nu'man bin Muqarrin, radiallahu anhu, to give da'wah to this emperor. When they reach the capital, they seek permission to enter by Kisra. Kisra is the title of the Persian emperor. His name was Yazdajird. When they get there, he calls for his translator. And then he asks the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what brings you here? What gives you all the guts to come to my land? You all are greedy, despicable people. What do you all want here? If we want, we can crush you and grind you. We just have taken pity on you, and now you muster up the guts to come to my land. SubhanAllah. Prior to that, Hazrat Nu'man radiallahu anhu sought the permission of his companions. What do you all feel if I be the spokesperson, the mutakallim? If anyone else wants to, I don't mind. Otherwise, if you agree, I would speak on your behalf. Now Hazrat Nu'man, he is now the spokesperson, and he speaks, subhanallah, on behalf of the Muslims, on behalf of the Ummah. He praises Allah, he glorifies Allah, he sends salutations upon Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he remarks that Allah has indeed showered us, the one Allah, the one Lord, had showered us with mercies when he sent to us a messenger to show us all walks of life, all walks of goodness. He commanded and advocated goodness, and he educated us about bad things and how to stay away from all that is bad. And he promised us that if we respond and obey Allah by pleasing Allah, accepting his messengers, and doing good works in this life, that Allah will give us the best of dunya and akhirah. And after we had embraced Islam, our constraintedness was transformed into vastness, meaning we were living miserable lives, we then became happy. The disgraceful lives we had was now transformed into honor. The hostilities and animosities we had towards each other was now transformed to mercy. So through Islam, where we please Allah, where we accept his messenger and follow him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we do good works in this world, and we stay away from bad, every form of bad and harming others, what Allah does for us, Allah gives us mercy, Allah gives us honor, Allah gives us vastness in this world and the next. But then our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us not to hoard this truth for ourselves, but we are to call all the people towards this, starting with our neighbors and then reaching all of mankind. That's why we want this good for you too, O respected king. We are calling you to come into our deen. Our deen advocates such an amazing, beautiful lifestyle where you would be happy. Our deen exhorts all goodness, and our deen explains what is harmful and teaches us how to abstain from what is wrong and how to change our lives. Our deen transforms those who embrace it from the darknesses of disbelief and from the life of injustice into the light of faith and the justice of Islam. And if you accept our faith, you come into Islam, we will teach you the book of Allah. And we don't want your lands. You will continue ruling your lands. All we want you to do is see the truth and embrace it. So he says, this is what we want for you. If you accept the truth, it will be your success in this world. And you will have happiness in the afterlife, which is forever and ever. This is how Sahaba explained to people, radiallahu anhum, that we didn't come to harm you. We've come out of being well wishes to you. Subhanallah. We will leave you to rule, but we want you to accept Allah who created you and the deen Allah wants for humanity. How nicely, how lovingly Sahaba explained. Subhanallah. Amazing is how Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh used to say, tell America Walo, tell Britain Walo, tell everyone in the world, we want salvation for you. We want success for you. It's not your treasures and your wealth that we want. Subhanallah. But then the Sahabi beautifully says, Allahu Akbar. But if you refuse to embrace the truth, then we will protect you, but at a fee. We will charge you the jizya and we will protect you. But there also, subhanallah, the wisdom behind it is when Muslims protect the non-Muslims, in that there would be interaction, transactions. Then Islam would be available to the masses because there would be a presence of Islam. Because the purpose of Islam is it has to stay. Islam is for humanity's salvation. It's not to be hidden from the world. And then his message continues. And if not, we then ready for battle. Oh yes, the Jird was enraged. He went into a fit of rage and he ranting and raving, shouting and screaming. He says, there wasn't a nation on this earth more wretched than you, lesser in number, more impoverished, more despicable. We left you to other outlying areas and you would surrender to us. And he was, you know, in his, you know, he lost his cool. But then, after fuming with rage, he then calm down. And then he said, but if it is need that has brought you here, then we'll give you some clothes, some food, and we'll leave you, and we'll give you a good king that will be kind to you. Then one of the Sahaba explained again that we're not here for these things. We're here for your salvation. So very interesting is how Sahaba would explain, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. On the other hand, the other Sahabi who's going to give da'wah to the army commander, army general Rustum. That was also very interesting. That Sahabi was none other than Hazrat Rabi'i ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu. He now, subhanallah, beautiful. Sahaba's dressing was simple. Sahaba's lives were simple. They lived a simple lifestyle. Today, subhanallah, the way the lifestyle of the system of the world is changing. Everything is opulence. Everything must be perfect. Everything. The whole system is changing. So much of fuss concerning the material things of this world. Subhanallah. That our life has to be in debt. That's the trick of the world. So that we must bind you. Once it's a few months old, it's working properly. But no. Take a debt. Pay it slowly. Live in debt. Live in misery. It's an agenda being put before us so that we can only think in one way. Allah save us. Imagine that Sahabi Hazrat Uqba bin Nafi' And according to the preferred view, he's a senior tabi'i. He advises his students as he took Islam into North Africa. He says to them, never let anything take you away from Quran, meaning Quran and Sunnah. Whatever shi'r, whatever other faculty, Quran and Sunnah comes first. Number two, he said, never take debts. Meaning, rather wear the older garment, clean it and wear it, drive the older vehicle, but don't buy something with the money we don't have. Today, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. My father says so beautifully, we want to buy things we don't need with the money we don't have to show people we don't like. And we are just hankering and chasing behind the lifestyle because of the system of self-gratification. That's what we're instilling in our children also. Through the media and the gadgets we make available to them, everything must be instant. Instant coffee, instant tickets, instant booking, instant order. It must come now. Otherwise, the little child is fuming also. Interesting is that hadith of Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before judgment day, even children will have such tempers and rages. And this makes sense why the system of the world is everything must be instant. If the child doesn't get it now and now, he can't tolerate it. How will that child last in that marriage? How will that child face the challenges of life when he doesn't have anymore? Your son, your daughter, my son, my daughter. It doesn't mean that every woman fancy must be granted to them. We're actually ruining their future. We can't be at their every beck and call. What would train them how to face the challenges of life? Make that child turn to Allah. Help that child perform salah. Subhanallah, I was reading an amazing report of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. Yes, the hadith does say, advocate and instruct your children at 7 to pray, to perform salah. And at 10, order them by force. Meaning, when we start, when we're supposed to, then happily they'll do it when they're 10. There won't even be a need for that when we follow the correct process. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, when the child recognizes his right from his left, already we would encourage and teach our children salah. So I'm asking my little one, she's 4 years old, which is your right? She shows me a right. Which is your left? She shows me a left. Your right leg, this one. So subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, children, they know. Then the Sahabi appears before Rustam, the commander general. He asks him, why have you come? What do you all want here? Look at the response of the Sahabi. We have not come. Then what are you doing here? Look at his response. Allah has sent us to you. What? Allahu Akbar. Allahu ibta'athana ilaykum. Allah has sent us to you. لِنُخْرِجَ مَنْ شَاءَ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى سَعَتِهَا وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَى عَدَلِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَأَرْسَلَنَا بِدِينِهِ إِلَى خَلْقِهِ لِنَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ وَمِنْ فِي رِوَايَةٍ وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى سَعَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah has sent us to give dawah to His creation, because He will give hidayat and guidance to whosoever He wants to take mankind out of the servitude of things into the servitude of one Allah, to take mankind out of the constrained lifestyle, the unjust system of this world, into the vastness of dunya and akhirah. How beautifully the Sahabi explains that vastness of dunya also. A person doesn't have deen. He can have all the riches in the world. His heart is tight and constrained and wretched and miserable. But once one comes into Allah's deen, already that vastness starts. Quran says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Indeed, verily, the righteous are in bliss. But they will be only in akhirah. Already, subhanallah, Allah gives them happiness in this world already. How beautifully the Sahabi explains. Rustam was amazed. The second day he asked for the same Sahabi, but Hazrat Sa'ad sent another Sahabi, Hazrat Hudhayfa bin Mihsan, radiallahu anhu. And he asked him, why have you come? I wanted to speak to the other man. No, Amir Sa'ab sent me. But what do you want here? What have you all come here for? And what was the response of Hazrat Hudhayfa? Ma ji'na ilaykum. Then why? Allahu ibta'athana ilaykum linukhrija man sha'a min ibadati al-ibad ila ibadati rabbil ibad wa min dhiqi ad-dunya ila sa'atiha wa min jawri al-adyan ila 'adli al-islam fa arsalana bi dinihi ila khalqihi linad'uhum ilayh wahwa.
The same words of Hazrat Rabi'i on the first day with the words of Hazrat Hudhayfa bin Mihsan radiyallahu anhu on the second day. From here we understand this was the mission of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. This is the mission of the Ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have not come, we've been sent by Allah to save the whole world, to show them who Allah is, who our beloved Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. My brother, my sister, my mother, my father, we have a purpose in life. Show the world, open the road, pave the way for humanity, introduce Allah to them, introduce our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam to them, introduce the Quran Kareem to them, the Sunnah Mubarakah to them. Let us all fulfill our duty. This is a great responsibility Allah has given us. The people around us are searching, are looking, are yearning for the truth, and we've hoarded it to ourselves. Allah forgive us. Allah may maaf farma de.
Also to learn the names of these great Sahaba radiallahu anhu, who were influential in sharing and spreading Islam into the Persian lands. Hazrat Sa'ad sent them to give dawat to the Persian emperor. First we have to remember that Sahabi who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent, Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent Hazrat Abdullah bin Hudhafa as-Sahmi radiallahu anhu. Imagine how amazing are the Sahaba. A Sahabi with an amazing sense of humor, happy, making people happy. But what a lover of Allah. Later in his life, when he was captured by the Roman emperor and he was about to be casted in a pot, a cauldron of boiling oil, and he teared. And then when questioned, why would you tear when we offered you the world, such a kingdom we offered you to denounce Islam? He says, I'm not crying because you are about to cast me into this cauldron. Then why do you cry? He says, I feel that now my life will be given for Allah. But to give one life for my Allah is too little. I was hopeful that equivalent to the hair strands on my body, each hair strand represent one life, and my every life, thousands of lives, be given for my Allah, one after the other. To give one life for my Allah is too little. So that was Hazrat Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu. But the Sahaba who Hazrat Sa'ad sent radiallahu anhum, remember them. Number one, Hazrat An-Nu'man bin Muqarrin al-Muzani radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Busr bin Abi Ruhm al-Juhani radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Hamala bin Juwayya al-Kinani radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Hanzala ibn Rabi' al-Tamimi radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Furat bin Hayyan al-Ijli radiyallahu anhu. Hazrat Adi ibn Suhail radiyallahu anhu. Al-Mughira bin Zurara bin Nabbash radiyallahu anhu. And then Hazrat Sa'ad chose some other influential individuals, some tabi'een, some sahaba radiyallahu anhum, who came from prominent backgrounds. So we learn sahaba utilized their influentiality, their authority, to influence Allah's deen to the best of their ability. Like we learned from Hazrat Nu'man bin Muqarrin, when he heard the message of Islam, the way he inspired his entire community. Respected Ummah, motivate your staff, your friends, your colleagues, your associates, whoever you can. Try. Allah is the giver of hidayah. So who were these others that Hazrat Sa'ad chose? One being Utarid bin Hajib Tamimi rahimahullah, Al-Ash'ath bin Qais al-Kindi, Al-Harith ibn Hassan al-Dhuhali, Asim ibn Amr al-Tamimi radiyallahu anhu, Amr ibn Ma'di Yakrib, and also Amr bin Ma'di Karib al-Zubaydi radiyallahu anhu, Al-Mughira bin Shu'ba al-Thaqafi radiyallahu anhu. What a sahabi, subhanallah. He was a gangster in his day, and how Islam changed him, how Islam, subhanallah, fashioned him. Amazing, such an amazing person. So many lands he took Islam to. He was so influential in sharing Islam with his community, the people of Taif. And where was he motivated? On a journey to Egypt, when meeting the king of Alexandria. who was his friend. And he mentioned to the king that the man you asked me about came to my door many times, but I'll never accept him. But subhanAllah, the king then responded, Muqawqis. He says, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to your door to share goodness with you, and you chased him away. How foolish of you. How can you chase a man who comes with goodness? And that's where Al-Mughira started deliberating, and that motivated him to meet the priests of Egypt and study the descriptions of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their scriptures. And alhamdulillah, instead of returning to Makkah, because he was gone to Egypt on trade, he goes straight to Medina Munawwara and embraces Islam. So he was also with this delegation, and the other being Al-Mu'anna bin Haritha al-Shaybani radiallahu anhu, and him being the brother of the great Al-Muthanna bin Haritha al-Shaybani, who started. So not 12, but 14 of them radiallahu anhum, who were sent as da'is, du'at, to give da'wat to the emperor of Persia. Allahu Akbar. So let's remember their names, or at least some of them, because these are the true heroes, radiyallahu anhum. When they completed their da'wat, radiyallahu anhum, they returned to their center at Qadisiyah. And by that time, it was the time for the third day where Hazrat Sa'd was to send a sahabi to give da'wat to the commander general. And on the third day, one of those who had gone to give da'wah to the Persian emperor, being Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah, he had returned. And he was now sent by Hazrat Sa'd, radiallahu anhu, to invite the Persian, the commander. And subhanAllah, his strategy was amazing when he arrived. The way he approached the issue, the way he made inroads, he used humor, he used his tact to win over the masses. He even sat on the couch of the commander, and they then threw him off. So he said, but I was invited here to speak to you. Is this how should you all treat me? And he then said, and he spoke in their language, because he was a man of many languages, and he won over the masses and the slaves. He said, see, we Muslims do not treat people the way you do, looking down upon people due to color, race, nationality, having the caste system. We are Muslims and we are together, we are brothers. And he explained the beauty of Islam and how they sit with their Amir and so forth. And this won many of the masses among the Persians to actually look into the beauty of Islam. So Sahaba's wisdom and strategy was amazing. Alhamdulillah, the Muslims were victorious in Qadisiyah. But thereafter the Persians continued, but Muslims continued also towards the capital. But the Persians then rallied many other armies, like the one being Nihawand. But prior to that, Muslims, alhamdulillah, continued from Qadisiyah. And there is a discussion we have on the details of Qadisiyah under Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu anhu. Then they took few other areas, and finally they cross the river, this huge river, miraculously, the du'as of Hazrat Sa'd. And Allah made it that the Sahaba on horseback crossed through this huge Euphrates river, and they finally get to Madain, the capital, the way they made sajda to Allah. And they established the masjid. And Hazrat Salman was sent to meet the local Persians, to speak to them and dialogue with them in their language, inviting them to Islam, explaining to them that we are here in peace, not to harm you or oppress you, but we come with protection for you, a better life for you, equality, integrity, an amazing lifestyle of peace. And we are to teach you the beauty of Islam and not to enforce it on you, but to share with you something better. But the Persians then rallied their men, and another huge battle was to happen, and that being Nihawand, which would be on another occasion, inshallah. But let's remember, the man of Nihawand, Allahu Akbar, was none other than An-Nu'man, radiallahu anhu. To mention Hazrat Nu'man's brothers also which is also beneficial for us to learn more about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Their names were, because this was the largest group of brothers, siblings, to embrace Islam all at one and the same time. Remember some of them, Hazrat Nu'man radiallahu anhu, his brother Hazrat Nu'aym radiallahu anhu, all the children of Muqarrin, Ma'qil radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Mardi radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu, Dirar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah radiallahu anhu, Suwaid, Sawad, Sinan, Sa'id radiallahu anhum. These were the brothers of Hazrat Nu'man bin Muqarrin radiallahu anhu. So inshallah, our next discussion would be the expedition called Nihawand and how the Muslims overcame that occasion, and who was the hero on that occasion. Subhanallah. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah accept us for His deen. Yes, we have just passed this Mubarak month of Ramadan, but we have to continue. We are not Muslims that are just seasonal, but Ramadan is to strengthen us to become better. Let us improve. Let us not return to what we were doing before Ramadan. Yes, let's analyze. If we were a 5, analyzing from 10, if we were a 5 before Ramadan, and in Ramadan we reached 8, 9, after Ramadan, let's not return to where we were. But if we can't remain 9, 8, at least stay at 7, not go back to where we were, back to square one. Ramadan is to improve us. Ramadan is to help us acquire deeds to remain with us forever. Ramadan is to teach us how to live our life correctly. And if we aspire, then Allah will bless us with amazing deaths at the right time. As our pious people say, Hazrat Mawlana Inam al-Hasan rahmatullah alayhi, jo zindagi guzarega Ramadan ki tarah, maut aayegi Eid ki chand ki tarah. He who spends his life like the month of Ramadan. Not just Ramadan, like Ramadan. He spends his life like the month of Ramadan. When death comes, such joy people have on sighting the moon of Eid, that would be his joy on receiving the news that he is now leaving this world. When he is approached by Malakul Maut, it would be a joyous occasion for him. Allah give us tawfiq. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.